Seven, Mr. Namanje, an entity duly represented by accused seven, accused 14, represented by Mr. Engelbrecht, an entity duly represented by accused number two, Mr. Willemse, accused 15, Ms. Gebhardt, and we are ready to proceed, Your Worship.
Can we just indicate, for example, accuse Mr. Bangamwamba for accuse 1, 2, 3, and 4, just to make it that way, so that...
Yes. Yes, I'll do that, Your Worship. Yes. So yes. Accuse 1,
yes.
3, 8,
yes.
13,
yes.
Mr. Bangamwamba.
Yes.
Accuse 2,
yes.
And accused 14, Mr. Engelbrecht.
You can proceed.
Accused 5, accused 7, accused 6, accused 11, accused 12, Mr. Namanje, and accused 9 and accused 15, Ms. Gebhardt. And lastly, accused 4, Mr. Casper.
Yes. Counsels, can you confirm your appearance?
François Bangamwamba of Court Bureau Chambers. I confirm my appearance for accused number 1, 3, 8, and 13. Please, of course, Your Worship.
As the court pleases, Your Worship, I appear on behalf of accused number 2 as well as number 14, the Close Corporation, Molton Engelbrecht. As the court pleases.
Mr. Namanje.
As the court pleases, Your Worship, I, together with my colleagues, Mr. Gaet, Mr. Kazondana, are representing accused number 5, 6, 7. Your Worship, you would have seen that my colleague for the state placed on record that we are also acting for accused number 10. Let me just make sure, Your Lordship, whether accused number 10 is...
It's number, accused number 11.
Who is accused 12. Number 10, Your Worship?
Accused number 10 was not mentioned. Mentioned 11 and 12.
Was 10 not mentioned?
10 is the CC. My apologies for the omission if that was not mentioned. It's also represented by Mr. Namanje.
Namanje, okay.
That is exactly why I wanted to speak about it. It's not a CC. I see the state is saying it's a close corporation. It's not a CC, it's a company. But may I place it on record that we were not forewarned yesterday or last week that the corporate entity, including Enegon, will be part of the accused person. But be that as it may I place on record that your Worship, you flag our representation of accused number 10. Why? Because the fact is that cooperation is under provisional liquidation. in terms of the law, immediately upon a provisional order of liquidation, the affairs, liabilities, assets, and everything of the company are immediately in the hands of the Master of the High Court, and thereafter in the hands of the provisional liquidator. In criminal proceedings, a corporate entity could be cited in terms of Section 332, subsection 1, if properly cited. But then, as to who represent the company and have power, for instance, to admit guilty, should be a director of the company. But in the circumstances where the company is under provisional liquidator, that will be difficult. So I will discuss this matter as we go on with the state. For now, Your Worship, you can simply flag it. It will be subject to further consultation between us and the state. But I can purportedly represent it because it has nothing to do with an admission of guilty at this stage. It's a bail application, and the company doesn't bring bail application. In fact, in these proceedings of today, the companies are not playing any role because this is a bail application. And then, yes, I confirm representation for accused number 11. And then, Your Worship, there is another one, Nyambari. Onyeka and Nyambari, Your Worship. Otherwise, we are ready to for bail application, Your Worship.
And accused 12, Mr. Namanje?
The problem, Your Worship, we have been asking for this. That is on your record, Your Worship. That is accused number
12.
And the name is?
Panduleni Farming CC.
No.
Okay. We can proceed. Mr. Casper?
May it please the court, Your Worship. I do confirm that I appear on behalf of accused number 4. You are equally ready to proceed.
Mrs. Gebhardt?
May it please you, Your Worship. I do confirm that I appear for accused persons number 9 and number 15 in these proceedings.
Yes. Mr. Lilongwe?
As the court pleases, Your Worship, before we proceed any further, I would like to put the following on record. Your Worship, when the matter appeared for the first time on the 10th of July, 2025, my colleague, Ms. Hinda, for the state, is the one that appeared. Reason being, I was indisposed and I could not be at court. I was then informed by the office that I'll need to come on board and assist my colleague Ms. Hinda because the case was then thereafter assigned to me. Your Worship, I have, before the start of the proceedings, disclosed my sick leave certificate to all the counsel for the accused persons. And what I would like to place on record further is that the charges initially when the accused person appeared were not as detailed as they are now, and in fact charges have been added up to count number 71. I've also indicated to my colleagues that for the purposes of the bail, there are documents that we seek to rely on, which documents are contained, at least at this stage, it's about 18 arch liver files, which we had to sift through, me and my colleague Nisinda, throughout this weekend. And I have to admit, Your Worship, that those documents were not disclosed to counsel because we were busy with drafting the charges as well as going through the files to decide which documents to disclose, as they are all aware that this is a bail proceeding, is not a trial, so we are not entitled to disclose the whole docket. Now, Your Worship, why I'm bringing this is that we seek to make an application that if the court is so endowed, that we have already informed all the counsel for the accused persons that we want to disclose these documents to all counsel, that in the event we proceed, then we are on par with regard to what documents we seek to rely on. Our application, in short, will be that if the court is so endowed, that if the matter will stand down until this afternoon, because we are still in a process of making those copies to avail them to all the different counsels for the accused persons. Your Worship, just to conclude on the aspect of me being indisposed, I don't know if it's in order with the court, if the court wants to have a sight of the sick leave certificate that would explain the details of my application that I'm bringing, that I was not involved from the beginning of the case, and that's why we are therefore asking that we be allowed time to avail the documentation to counsel and then proceed thereafter, after lunch today. Ensure that we our application as the court pleases.
Mr. Bangamaba?
Your Worship, my apologies. Yes. Just before I do that, I've mentioned that the charges now are up to count 71.
Yes.
Without going in detail, I just want to read the charges so that at least the court is aware of the charges. Is that in order, or can we dispense with that?
As the court is, yes, counsels, Mr. Bangamaba.
Yes, Your Worship. In order to save the court's time and for the defense team to speak with one voice against the obstructive and the malicious conduct by the state, we all have agreed that Mr. Lamanje addresses and deals with the in response to the application. Please report to you.
On behalf of both councils.
No. Yes. Perhaps they did, and they are entitled to do that, but I did not agree to that. Okay. I will be addressing the court in respect of that.
Yes, that's a minute. So, Mr. Bangamaba, you are speaking on behalf of your clients.
On behalf of accused number 1,
yes, 3, 8, and 13,
as well as the counsel, Casper, and the Engelbrecht. Please go to Washington.
Mr. Engelbrecht, you confirm that?
Yes, so maybe perhaps I must address the court on the issue whether or not I am available to proceed with this matter or not. Maybe that would be my starting point as far as this hearing is concerned. I've placed it previously on record that we reserved our right to move a formal bail application. Subsequent to that, the following happened. I've been informed by social media that my client was admitted at a certain hospital in town. I have not received any official communication by my learned colleague on that particular point. Further to that, I have also learned social media that my client has been discharged from hospital only on Saturday around 12 o'clock. I can also confirm that I have received the charges against my client 2 minutes before midnight, Friday night. I received the charges against my client. Subsequent to that night, after 12 o'clock, I engaged my learned colleague for the state in order to ask for the combined charged indictment. I can confirm that I have received same only this morning before the commencement of this hearing. Therefore, I must place before this honorable court that I have not consulted properly with my client, accused number 2, in order to be part and parcel of the bail application today. However, we reserved our right to move such application in due course after I receive proper instructions as far as this application is concerned. So basically, as far as the proceedings today is concerned, I'm just before this honorable court and hold a watching brief in order to protect the interests of my client. So that is our position today.
That is in order, Mr. Engel.
Yes, the court, please.
Mrs. Gebhardt?
Your Worship, you've heard that I appeal for accused person number 9 as well as 15 in these proceedings. Yes. Accused person number 9 was arrested on the 10th of July 2025. Your Worship, there's an application before you that is moved from the bar in respect of postponing the proceedings to this afternoon. And the basis of that application is that there are documentation that the state as the respondent, because that is what the state is in this, not an applicant. We must keep that in mind. The state as the respondent is saying to this court that there are documents that we need to provide to the applicant or the applicants. The applicants are ready to proceed. So we cannot be detained by copies that must be made by the state. What we can tell the court as applicants is that the matter can proceed. The applicants move their applications, those that are prepared to proceed and are ready. And then what we need is an undertaking by when the copies will be completed. And before we commenced, the state indicated that they've been making progress. It should be done by the end of today. But the point is, bail number one are individual applications. There's no collective applications here. Number two, those applications have owners, and those are the accused persons, not the state. It's not for the state to apply to postpone an application that is not theirs. It's a misnomer. It does not make sense. What the state can tell us is that they wish to rely on some documents that would be in cross-examination or to counter the applications that would be appearing or that would be made in these proceedings. That is fine. Yes, we need to have regard to those documents, but we can still have those regard to those documents this afternoon without detaining and delaying the commencement of the bail applications. Because you must not lose mind of the fact of the nature of this application, Your Worship. These are urgent applications. Documentation by the respondent cannot detain us. In respect of my client specifically, I received instructions this morning. I do have instructions to proceed. The nature of that, or the manner in which we proceed, I can place on record now. We will be proceeding by way of notice of motion. We'll be filing our application. There will be an affidavit filed. The state will indicate to this court whether they will answer by way of an affidavit or call whichever witnesses they want to call to counter that application. But that cannot detain the other applicants who are ready to proceed to commence with the proceedings today. That is my contribution to that matter, Your Worship.
Councillor, do you confirm the sentiments of Mr. Bangamabu?
Indeed, I do, Your Worship, and equally those now expressed by my learned friend for accused number 9.
Yes, Mr. Mangia.
Yes, the court, please. First, the background, Your Worship. Last week, when this matter appeared in court, knowing that our clients, if they so wished, could bring a bail application, we gave notice to the state that our client were prepared and were willing to move bail application already last week. Arrangements were made to liaise with the presiding officers heading the station in order to avail a court for our clients to commence with bail application. An application was then brought in court, and the parties were given an opportunity to make representations as to when exactly the bail application should start. The presiding officer, who stood in to determine that application, Ms.
Muharukwa then directed that these proceedings will commence today at 10 o'clock. That is the order, extant order, that is operative, and on the basis of which we should proceed, Your Worship. Secondly, there was another order in terms of whereof we were supposed to be provided with annexures already on Friday. We never got those annexures, and we end up getting these annexures very late in the wee hours of the morning, including this morning. While we were prejudiced by these delays and non-compliance with an extant court order, because of the nature of the right, that is a right of our client to liberty, and their right to obtain a forum to bring the application, we, with difficulties, proceeded and prepared for this bail application. And this morning, we were informed, Your Worship, that the state apparently had to make copies to provide us with copies. On our part, we did make copies and provide the state with copies because we do not want to be obstructive. If it is a matter of copies, we informed the state that we are prepared to place it on record that one of the accused persons is in fact very ready to start leading his case in a bail application. If the state will be ready to provide those documents after two, then those copies could be made. There is nothing material, nothing inhibitive for us not to proceed with the bail application. I'm a senior lawyer enough, Your Worship, to know these tactics, because what happens when you delay bail application with the accused person, what will happen is this, Your Worship. If you lose time, then you will see that this bail application will continue being postponed, then you find yourself in August. And by the way, each of the accused person, and I'm speaking in particular of my client, is paying for this morning appearance. Our client are not going to be out of pocket to pay three lawyers, and of course lawyers for the other accused person this morning, to wait for copies to be made. So our application is that we proceed with the accused person who is ready. And if we sense that there is a need to wait for copies so that he can comment, the proceeding can stop at 12:30 or at 1. Then at 2, we have those copies, and the accused person can comment on those documents. The state council, there are two in court, and we fund government through payment of taxes. There can be other clerks of other lawyers making copies outside like we do. So there is no reason why we should not proceed with greatest respect. We understand that the magistrate was deliberately made available to assist us. So may I ask that we proceed? We have prepared, or although some of the accused person, because of the delay caused by the state, were not fully consulted. There is one accused person who is ready, fully consulted, and there is no reason for him not to go in a witness box after we have made our opening statements and so forth. So I ask your worship to direct that the matter proceed. But there's another thing that is important, your worship. It is shocking that people in Namibia, probably because of public pressure, are arrested, and when you come to court, the law is that you should be meaningfully advised and informed of what exactly did you do. If you contravene a statute, you must be told, in fact, already when you get arrested, that you have contravened section whatever of what act. And when you appeared last week, we ought to have been already informed of what our client committed. So for the state to be in installments, adding one and other charges overnight in the wee hours of the morning and so forth, and to make up so that they catch up with this thumbsucked number of 480 million to make so that they match numbers. They committed themselves to 480 million when it is really not about that. So it's not in accordance with the consideration of justice for accused person come to court and the state is running around, sweating around to see which offenses can they just take from the statute books and put it in the charge sheet. That's why, as we will demonstrate, there are charges here that do not exist in law. So, Your Worship, with respect, we want justice. Nobody has the right to disregard our client's right just because they are being accused. They have the right to be presumed innocent. And it's not a symbolic thing. It's not a token thing. When we say that our client are presumed to be innocent, that is exactly what we meant. No shame about it. We are prepared to proceed with the application, Your Worship.
Now, just for the record, apart from Mr. Engelbrecht for accused two, all the other accused are ready to proceed with the bail application? That is what I understand.
That is indeed correct, Your Worship.
Okay. I confirm that position in Washington.
Yes, now it is apparent from the record that the matter was postponed today for formal bail application. Hence, the state have moved an application to have the matter stand down until 1400 hours to disclose certain documents to the accused. The application is opposed by the defense on behalf of their clients. It is apparent that this is a bail application. The applicants move the bail application. It's not for the respondent or the state to move the application. Further, also, it is apparent from the submissions of Mrs. Gebhardt, confirmed also by Mr. Casper and Mr. Namaji, there is no prejudice. The matter can proceed, and those documents can be availed to the state at any time, because in any case, those documents are only to be used during cross-examination when necessary. Therefore, the application will proceed now. Yes.
Before I proceed, I would like to hand the charge sheet that contains the annexures. And then proceed to put our grounds of objections on record.
Yes.
May I proceed, Your Worship?
You can proceed.
Yes. Your Worship, we are objecting to the granting of bail in respect of all the accused persons on the following grounds. Ground one, that there is a risk of abscondment in respect of all the accused persons, that if granted bail, they might abscond. Ground number two, that there is a high risk that the accused persons, if granting bail, will interfere with the ongoing investigations against them. Round number three, is that the seriousness of the offense and the strength of the state's case against the accused persons.
right. Hello?
Mzuire.
Hello?
Mzuire.
Yeah, Mzuire.
Mzuire.
Yeah.
The alternative to that count. However, in respect...
Sure.
Ah, Mzuire, ile kwa kati mamuri mokwa.
Oh.
Alumi utu ya redio ya mina ifiti. Kwa nawezika taisika kala ya kusewezo.
Ika utu hala.
Oh.
Yeah, ika utu hala.
Ah, kia lushua huli zelewa.
Mwurivele leka utuhala. Kuna nizeli pate hile kazo nafaa.
Oo.
Lukasilise za mihala.
Oke.
Okay. Ensha.
Alu itumezi kona kawulofele ni wata kukulewa yo.
Shangwe.
Lalumele oma analisani oma kache pati wao.
Baka utuwa.
Shangwe.
Ie.
Bamitimali tapi kezi kala kushuwa famezi saa kutamaza mbezo sinenge.
Kezi kala kumataki tapi.
Kezi kala.
Esimu na nina mba yaka.
Ha?
Una nina namba yaka?
Anayo na.
081.
081.
33.
N.
46.
46.
599.
499.
Yeah, mwanilize zi kwa namba yaka.
Shangwe.
Shangwe.
Itumezi.
Yeah.
My colleague for accused number one placed on record, we did liaise so that we streamline the proceedings and shorten the proceedings. Hence, your worship, in respect of the opening statement to place the matter in context, I will deliver the opening statement, your worship, which we are entitled to, if we so wish, and we have also prepared, because these charges were produced to us belatedly, the accused person who is complete and full in terms of taking of instructions, everybody is ready, but the one who is complete with nothing else left in the time we had to look at the charges is accused number 5, and that is Peter Hango Elindi, that is the accused person who will be starting with the evidence, with the application. But for now, I will be delivering the opening statement. Your Worship, first of all, the state have provided and placed on record grounds of opposition. One of the defense main ground why they must be granted bail is a simple fact that will demonstrate that this case is weak. The state case is weak. It's an attempt to abandon civil and corporate remedies and use the criminal processes and proceedings in order to settle a commercial and corporate dispute. So we will be able to demonstrate that with respect, this case relates to a commercial dispute, and these charges were simply brought against our accused person because of the state and complainant's frustration or unhappiness with corporate remedies available to them in a commercial dispute. That's one. The second one, Your Worship, I must not be misunderstood. We are not attacking the arrest, the validity of the arrest. But we will demonstrate that, in the first place, the arrest of our clients was not necessary. The arrest of our clients was not necessary. Why we say that, Your Worship, is that it will, if we demonstrate that the arrest was not necessary, then, Your Worship, the state will not be able to rely on the public interest exception under Section 60 of the CPA.
Just a minute. Yes, you can proceed.
Okay. Your Worship, I want to be understood. What we are going to say is that to demonstrate that it was not necessary to arrest. If we are correct in that, then the state cannot create a factual and legal basis to rely on the public interest concept in the CPA. Once you find, your Worship, that the arrests were not necessary on the facts before your Worship in the bail application, then necessarily then the state will not be able to rely on public interest. Thirdly, we are going to demonstrate that the state came to court with dirty hands. We are going to demonstrate that it's not for the state in taking steps to investigate crime, to prevent crime and prosecute crime, to act beyond judicial and legal standards. When you investigate, when you arrest, and when you bring people to court, we'll be referring to case law to demonstrate that as a factor, when you exercise your discretion at the end of the bail application, your Worship, you will be able to take the conduct of the state in consideration if the state is found to have breached existing judicial standards meant to keep criminal proceedings fair. We will demonstrate that, in fact, the state co-opted the media into their processes maybe to provoke public anger. When I say the state, your Worship, I'm not only talking about, I'm talking about agents of the state. Something that the Supreme Court of Namibia and the High Court both have said, the state has no business to use the media to harass accused persons during the arrest and the proceedings. In this matter, we will produce evidence and back that up with case law that the state breached their responsibility in that respect. And we are also going to show that it's not for the state to seek to aggravate and to make serious the case when it has no evidence. Why do we say that? These public announcements, including in court, to say the accused person are facing charges in the amount of 480 million. Your Worship, you have the charge sheet. This was a deliberate attempt by the state to tag along the public, to provoke anger, thinking that it is enough for the state to come out with numbers, big numbers, and their case will be easy at a bail application. All this falsified number, 480 million is a falsified number, your Worship. We will be able to demonstrate. There are no such charges. 480 million, the state will not be able to back up this amount, not in the bail application, not at the trial. And this is not what should happen in Namibian courts. That's why, your Worship, you are there. We will be, with respect, doing it with respect, we will be reminding the court and asking the court to do justice to our client. We will be reminding the court that the court is not part of the executive.
It's not, the court is not and can never be co-opted by the police, by the prosecution in doing justice. The court is there to ensure that everybody plays by the rules. The fact that I think sometimes the court, the public prosecutors and police officers, they appear to think judicial officers are judicial cousins because they operate from the same building. But when we come to court, we must be treated equally, and nobody should use the court processes against us. It is for that reason we end up, to cut the long story short, our opening statement in written form, Your Worship. And all cases, including abuse of the media against the accused person that we refer to, the necessity of arrest, Your Worship, and may I have the court given a copy, please? I will not read them because this is necessary to put the matter in context. I will just highlight, your Worship, the following. Your Worship, this is necessary because...
Of at my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, we start like... good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood. Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager.
We will be given copies only at 2. The media has been reporting directly on facts apparently in the docket. Yet we are being told we are only going to be given documents at 2. At page 2, paragraph 2, we just refer to the Justice Damasev judgment that an arrest in Namibia can only be made if there is fear. Otherwise, you must use summons and so forth. Then, your Worship, I take the court at page 4, paragraph 5, where we refer to Van Eck versus Van Rensburg and Edna Stores, that when you have power, like ACC agents have power to arrest. They only have power for purposes of bringing people to court for purposes of the trial. And they can only arrest prematurely if there is a reason that triggered a premature arrest. Then they cannot just arrest because they have the power to arrest. So then, your lordship with speed at page 6, paragraph 6.11. And this is what is important and why we deliberately bring this up at the beginning, is that Pretoria Portland Cement versus Competition Commission. Your Worship, if you can just over the page, page 7, this is very important, Your Worship. We want to, so that the court, when we give evidence, the court knows exactly why are we giving this kind of evidence. You see in Pretoria Portland Cement, the Supreme Court of Appeal in South Africa set aside some processes because the media was used when people were being searched and so forth. Like in this case, it's public knowledge that the media were even, the part of media personnel were invited at arrest and so forth. They were given information from docket prior to us appearing in this court. And that is stated in that judgment there. You can use your discretion, your Worship, in a bail application if you feel that the state came to court with dirty hands. And secondly, is the most important case of Likanyi. Your Worship, you know that case of Likanyi in the Supreme Court of Namibia under paragraph 8.12, where a high treason conviction was set aside by the court. And at page 8, the court emphasized the fact that in a government of laws, existence of the government will be imperiled if it fails to observe the law.
government must be a model of compliance with the law. And the court in the highlighted part says that that warning was given in a distant era, but remain as cogent as ever. Indeed, for us in this country, it has a particular relevance. We saw in the past what happens when the state bends the law to its own ends, and now in the new era, we may be tempted to use questionable measures in the war against crime. That, you see, we will be demonstrating that just because there is a public pressure, which is a noble thing, public pressure and that corruption, money laundering and so forth must be investigated and people must be prosecuted. Nothing in that suggests that the state must use irregular means, Your Worship. If you find in a bail application the state, in bringing our clients to court and in opposing bail, resorted to such tactics, you are entitled to use your discretion against the state. And then, Your Worship, I'm about to conclude, paragraph 9.1, that is the case that deals with the media. That is the case that deals with the media. That is the case, you see, it's not for the state to be bluffing around and give out these big numbers as if you are at an auction. That's some sucking numbers, 480, so that everybody's on your part. These people have stolen even, Your Worship, look at the charges. I have seen somebody only facing an amount of 10,000 or something. Look at the charges. Is it fair for a public prosecutor to come in court and tell all and sundry these people are facing 480 when it is not true? Even official record, judicial records are there. It's not true. So this is an institution, those who are prosecuting and bringing our clients, trying to market themselves through judicial processes. They want to play that they have judicial prosecutorial balls to go after everybody. It's wrong, Your Worship. So we have written down our opening statement with that out, and I ask that that become part of the record, Your Worship, and we'll give context. And I seek leave to call Mr. Peter Hango Elindi to be the first applicant to in this bail proceedings.
Mr. Lilongwe, any comment? No.
No, Your Worship will not be making any opening statements.
Peter Hango Elindi. Your Worship, I will provide, I have provided my colleague with copies, a bundle that we will be using at the end of his testimony. We will then go through each document he referred to make them part of the exhibit, Your Worship. If my junior can just provide the copy.
Sir, what language do you prefer? Can you just put that paper in your pocket? Do you have any objection for taking the oath that what you are going to tell the court is the truth and nothing else but the truth? Do you consider the oath binding on your conscience? Do you swear the evidence you shall give is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? If so, raise your right hand and say, "So help me God." You can also, you affirm. It's in order.
Yes,
your full names for the record. We can proceed.
Your Worship, when we appeared last week, I indicated that in the interest of time, on matters where the state may not have a dispute, we will have a small memoranda, but particularly on asset. We have a document, a two-page document, which set out the assets of my client, and I will seek that, limited to that document, Your Worship, that we seek leave, if my colleagues have no objection, that the accused person, so that it will be easy, the assets are on the second page. It is nothing on any contested issue, just personal matters and assets that accused person will be able to list them, and it will also assist the court in listing them. If my colleague has no problem, that first part of personal particulars, I will lead him without. If not, I will then lead him without the document, if my colleague has any problem.
There is no objection, Your Worship.
Thank you. I'm indebted to my colleague.
I don't have the document.
Okay, I will hand up. Also. Does he have? Now, first of all, Mr. Erindi, just listen to me first, please. You got to speak up.
Yes.
Okay? Speak up and be confident as much as you want.
Do you want this document to be marked as an exhibit or just to form part of the record?
Yeah, it can form part of the record, because he will confirm everything. I just wanted to run quickly with him on those non-controversial.
Okay.
First of all, if you look at paragraph 1, it confirms your name and that you are 60 years old. Is that correct?
Yes.
If you can just tell the court, where were you born in Namibia?
I was born in the north of Namibia, and I'm a Namibian citizen.
Okay, which region?
Oshikota region.
And then that paragraph, it speaks about your address. Can you just say it for the record?
Yes, currently I'm residing at number 15, Amerkopweg, Auckland Park.
Whose property is that?
It belongs to me.
Okay, then the next one speaks about that you are a freedom fighter. Just shortly say something about that. What do you mean?
Yes, I joined the liberation struggle at the tender age, and I stayed there until the independence in 1990.
What is there? You stayed there where?
I stayed both in Angola, in the bush as a refugee, and later I went to study and I came back as a lawyer.
Were you a refugee or a freedom fighter?
Both. A freedom fighter. First, you have to become a refugee before you become a freedom fighter, before you get trained.
Okay. It indicates that you studied in Cuba. Can you just say about something about that?
Yes, I studied in Cuba, and where I completed my LLM, you know. And I'm one of the first one to join the legal JTC here in the Namibia.
So you are a lawyer by profession?
Yes.
And how many languages do you speak?
A couple of them. English, Spanish, Portuguese, Oshawa, and other languages in Namibia.
Okay. Now, and when did you come back to Namibia?
1990.
Okay. And now, let's go to paragraph 2. Where are you currently?
I'm residing in Windhoek.
Not today. Where did you come from?
I came from the Windhoek Correctional Service.
Okay. Yes. When were you arrested?
I was arrested on Wednesday.
Okay.
What was the date?
Was the 9th. Wednesday the 9th of this month.
While we are there, can you? The state is saying apparently you are one of those it fear you will run away. Tell us a bit about how you were arrested.
Well, we were informed that the state is.
Speak looking about yourself, not about
others. Yeah, I was informed that the state is looking for me.
Yes.
With regard to. A case, a corruption case,
And then I took steps. I went to the law firm. Mm-hmm. I found Marco, and I told him I needed to go to the anti-corruption, and we drove there. He drove me to the office.
You went to the law firm. What law firm?
Sisanamanje law firm.
Okay, so after you were informed, you took steps, you went to your legal practitioner, and they went to ACC.
Yes.
And then you were arrested there.
Yes.
Okay. Did you attempt to run away, as the state appeared to suggest?
No, I cannot run away. I came into this country, and I will not run away. In fact, this whole case, we have been aware of the investigation since 2022, and we have been here. We cannot run away.
Okay, speak about yourself.
Myself, yes. I cannot run away because I have business interest here. I live here. I have a house here. I have employees that work for me. I'm a headman, a traditional leader. I've got nowhere to go.
Okay, but is there any reason to? Do you fear this case?
Not at all, because for me this is a commercial transaction.
Okay. Of course, the state has been tearing all and sundry that it has a strong case and it will get conviction in money laundering, corruption, and so forth. Do you have any reason to run away and not to wait for the trial to defend yourself?
In fact, I would like to clear my name and I would not go anywhere.
Okay. Now, number three, you say that you are self-employed and you operate multiple business enterprises. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you said you have about 26 employees.
Yes.
Okay. And about your family, what is your marital status?
I'm married. Mm-hmm. With a lot of kids.
What is a lot?
Yes.
And I have three that directly
what
depend on
me. What is a lot?
Yeah, no. Your
worship. Can you put
there
it
are
on?
Four only.
There are four?
Yeah.
And the three are under your, what do you mean under your
they
direct?
They are dependent on me financially.
Okay, three of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's move. Do you have a traveling document, passport?
Yes, I've got one Namibian ordinary passport.
Where is it?
It's, I have facilitated that it be given to my legal representative.
Okay, so if, do you have any problem for the state to be given that passport and for the court to make an order that you should not apply for any other travel document?
Not at all.
You have no problem?
No.
Okay. Then, let's move to the next page with regard to your properties and interests. Can you just say by one from top, from properties, land and buildings? First, let's start with properties, place them on record, land and buildings, and estimated values of those properties.
They are here. I started working for some time for myself. That's why I have accumulated this property. If you see ELF, I have ELF number 160 in Akahana in Katutura. I have my...
Okay, just listen to me. Around when did you acquire that property, if you can remember?
Probably early 2000.
Early 2000.
In the 2000.
Yeah, speak up, sir.
Yeah, in 2000, around 2000.
Yes.
2000 something. It's in the 2000s.
Okay. Let's just make it clear. Was it bought from 2022 to now, or what was bought before that?
None of this property were born from that period. That,
okay, that we'll go on. Then you have El Campo Etope Farm. What is that?
That's my residential house where I'm residing in my village.
Oh, do you call it El Campo Etope Farm?
Yes.
Okay. Then you have L 595
Say something about that property. I see you have 50%.
That is my residence. That is number 15 Americo. Okay. Where I'm residing currently.
It indicates that you have 50 members' interest. Who has the rest? Is it a mistake?
No, it's a mistake. That is my residential property.
Oh, so you 100% own it?
Yes.
Okay.
Or else, I think it's because it's 50% because it's co-owned between me and my spouse.
Okay. Yeah, this is what you mean. Oh, okay, fine.
No, just a minute. You are saying F number 15. But
no, number 15, Americo, that is not a F, is an outside number, the street number. Okay. But the F is 595.
Okay, so it's the same property where you live. It's just the street number is 15, but the F number is 595.
Yes.
Okay. And then 41 Hakahana, new residence with four flats. What is that?
Yes, it's a residential property that I have in Hakahana.
In Windhoek?
In Windhoek. Yeah.
Around when did you acquire this?
It's still between 2010 and 2016,
17. Okay. And I forgot to ask about your house. When did you acquire that house?
Still the same.
That's the same period. Okay.
What is the same period?
Between 2010, 2016.
Okay. Then Camelthorne Garden Center. What is that?
Camelthorne Garden Center, that is a business where I'm running a nursery and entertainment center. Nursery and the recreational facility.
Is that in Windhoek?
Yes, in Olympia, in Tennis Street.
Okay. And around when did you acquire this?
It was around, that one was, was recently. That one was around 2023, 2024.
Okay. And, of course, we have copies where the state need to verify.
By the bank.
Is it financed by the bank?
Yeah.
Which bank?
Bank Windhoek.
Bank Windhoek. Okay. And then it says two plots on Thea?
Yeah, I've got two properties in on Thea. Empty properties.
Do you remember around when did you acquire them?
It should be around 2021. Around that.
2019 to 2021.
Yeah,
around there. Then F3054 Katutura.
Yeah, that one also within that same period, 2017 2020.
Okay. And section 13 Hochland Village,
same, around the same period I acquired that. So
2017 to 2021. Okay, then we go to then there is Bonsec Investment 174.
These are a joint property that I co-own with Malaki.
Accused number 6.
Yes.
Okay.
So all of them that you see there.
So it's a
Bonsec.
Bonsec
Investment.
Yeah.
77 Independence.
Yes.
And we also own that Ombili Health Clinic.
What is Ombili, just for?
It's a clinic.
It's a clinic?
Yeah.
A medical clinic?
A medical clinic, yes.
Yes, so what happens there?
Yeah, we have got doctor. We have a doctor. It's got a radiological unit and a mini theater and all other facilities.
When did you start with that business?
So between 2017, around there,
That means that you actually acquired it prior to your relationship with NAMCO in terms of
It also financed by Development Bank.
Oh, Development Bank. Okay, and the property you own with your brother, accused number six, and that is estimated to be about 22 million in value.
Yes, sir.
Okay, as we speak, is it ongoing? Is it attending to patients? That?
Yeah, we are in the process of getting a new doctor and new staff. It's open.
Okay. Then we go to the vehicles. You have listed it's about five vehicles.
Yeah.
And there is a Land Cruiser. You remember around when was it bought?
All of these vehicles were bought before 2021.
Were bought before 2021?
Yeah.
In fact, then before the relationship between Enecon and the...
Before the case, that is before the court.
Yeah, they often spoken about agreement with NAMCO. Okay. And those are the... And you have also indicated where you got bank window to finance.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you go to the household content furniture and fitting. You rounded them up to about three houses, around 7.1 million.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then we go to your members' interest or shareholdings. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I had, it was those shares that I own. And
let's for clarity, Enecon sale, are you currently a shareholder of Enecon?
No, sir. We sold our interest in Enecon on the 23rd of February 2023.
When you say who?
I, me and Malakia.
Okay. So this was as you had then?
Yeah.
Okay. Currently, are you a director or shareholder of Enegon?
No.
Okay. Then Zoya Miner was...
Just to clarify, why did you then list it if you already sold it?
I think it's because when the accountant sent the document, they were just sent, I think, this morning.
Yeah, yes.
I didn't pick it up, Your Worship.
Okay, so just for the record of the record. That's why you are confirming, is it correct this information came from your accountants?
Yeah.
In preparation for bail? You were in custody?
Yes, I was in custody.
Okay, but you are now correcting it?
Yes, I'm correcting it.
Okay. So Zoya Minerals, is it still, you said you have 45 members, is that correct?
Yes, that one is still correct.
What does that, it has, that company, what does it do?
It has got a mining EPL, exploration license.
EPL?
Yeah.
And the estimated value is 5.2 million?
Yes.
Okay. And then there is... PH Fashion Point CC.
Yeah, that is a membership, a CC that I own with my wife.
Okay, what does it do?
It's mostly a boutique.
Deep?
A boutique.
Oh.
Yeah.
It sells?
It sells clothes, shoes, normal items.
Yeah. Okay. And Elindi Property Income CC?
This is a joint entity that we have near Malaki that has got... It's mostly receiving some income. We created it just for purpose of acquiring future properties.
Okay. Mm. And then DMPL Mining Pty Limited.
Yeah, it is also a mining company, certain copper EPL that we own.
So that is copper EPL, the other one is lithium?
Uranium.
Oh, uranium. Okay. So this, with the exception of Enecon, where you corrected, as far as you remember, you confirmed the correctness of the information on this year.
Yes.
Are you prepared, just in case, because you are in custody and you are saying it, the auditor that assisted us this morning, you are in custody, if you there is anything major that you left, are you prepared from time to time to inform us so that we inform the state if anything may have been left out?
I will do it.
Inadvertently.
I'm prepared to do that.
Okay. Now, so then, do you have a bundle of documents? So I want us to start demonstrating that, in fact, the state was not even entitled to lay its hands over you to arrest you.
Have you moved out from this document?
Yes.
Can we then mark this document?
Yes.
Exhibit A.
A, as a copy. Now, I'm going to a bundle, really, that, as you told me, that will demonstrate that this is a corporate transaction and no crime was committed. And I, you please take your time. I will lead you through a number of documents to demonstrate this. Now, I want you first to read out charge number, the charge at page 1. Your Worship, the charge at page 1. It, as I understand from my colleague for the state, unless I'm wrong, they can correct me. It's now count 34, if I'm correct. Yes. No. I'm referring to count 56 area. Last week, the state, over the weekend, the state gave us a document, page 1, of the bundle that we handed up, Your Worship.
The bundle?
Yes. Page 1. So, that document we received yesterday from the state, yesterday, Sunday, from the state. It says that count is 56. All what I was trying to say, it's now renumbered to be count 34. I just want the state to confirm. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
56 is now?
For as far as it concerns to accused to Mr.
Worship, on the document, on the annexes that were given to the court, it's charges on page 14.
Yes. Count number 34.
Yes.
Yes.
Count number 34.
Your Worship, I will continue on that basis. I will, because we, in the morning when we were prepared, we only had the document we were given yesterday. But I just want to deal with count 34 now. Okay, Mr. Erindik, just read out charge 34 at page 1.
The accused is guilty of the crime of fraud.
Yes, go on.
Whereas the accused did on the 15th day of July 2022 at Onia Lindu in the district of Lindu, the deed wrongfully, maybe it's typo, the deed wrongfully, unlawfully, falsely, and with the intent to defraud, give out, and pretend to Namco that he was to sell 9 service stations to Namco while he was not in a position to do so. That is A, B. The 4 service station were encumbered to the Ministry of Defense and Veteran Affairs due to a 15-year agreement signed on 15 September 2016. And then by means of the said misrepresentation induced Namco
to act to its own act of whereas, in truth and in fact, the accused, when he so gave out and pretended, as aforesaid, well knew that his representation was fraudulent and that the accused did commit the crime of fraud.
Okay, let's just start. We are going to the document. First of all, who was in the, legally speaking, who was in the relationship with NAMCOR? As far as the asset, whatever the so-called agreement of 2022, who was in the, was it you or was it the company, Energon?
It was the company, Energon.
And so in other words, it was a legal persona?
Yes.
Of which you were a shareholder and
the director.
So was it, was the agreement between the so-called NAMCO, trading, distribution and trading, between you as an individual and NAMCO?
No, not at all.
Okay. Now, the state says it's fraud. I just want to ask you, as far as you were concerned, you are a director at Energon and a shareholder. Who was representing NAMCO during the discussion or negotiations and signing of the agreement with NAMCO, if you can remember?
Yeah, to the best, we there was first a discussion at executive level.
Yes.
I remember we had an engagement with Mr. Mulonga with regards to the approach which me as the chairperson of the company and him, the MD, we had discussion with regard to that relationship.
Okay. I want to take you to page 14 of the document. Yeah, 14 of the bundle.
Yes, on there.
What is that? Do you recognize that document dated 5 November 2021? What is it?
It's a Telecom Namibia 5th of November 2021. Dear Mr. Peter Elindi, supply of petroleum products, diesel 50 PM to Telecom Namibia Pty Limited. Thank you for the opportunity presented to NAMCO to submit a fuel supply proposal to your company. And then there was fuel pricing.
Yes,
and will supply Energon.
Mr. Erindi? Yes, the paragraph 1 deals with fuel pricing.
Yes.
And then 1.1 diesel.
50 ppm, yes.
Yes. And then over the pages, a readout, paragraph 2, terms of payment.
Terms of payment. Proposed payment terms, NAMCO offers 30 days after statement terms, which requires a valid bank guarantee to be in place by Energon Namibia on a one-to-one basis. Security can be in the form of cash collateral, an acceptable guarantee from a banking institution or any other authorized financial institution, a letter of credit, pledge, of bank deposit or payment, bond or any other securities the seller may in its sole discretion may determine.
Okay, just it's fine. Then paragraph 8 deals about health, safety and environment. Is that correct?
Paragraph
3 at page 15 still?
Yes.
And paragraph 4 deals with sales management and technical support. You see that?
Yes.
Then, and this is very important, number 5, general. Can you just read it for court?
In the event that we have not fully covered all aspects in respect of the pricing offered, we confirm our willingness to discuss further at your at your convenience.
Yeah, and then the next one.
This offer is subject to management approval.
Yeah, just hang on there. As you understand this letter, it's telling you that this offer, in other words, NANCO giving you an offer, is subject to management approval. Whose management is being referred to there?
NANCO management.
Yes, exactly. As a businessman and an outsider, is it your responsibility to check upon internal compliance requirements and so forth?
Not at all.
Did you understand that you have a duty to tick off that this and that went to this committee or whatever and whatever internally as far as NANCO is concerned?
No, I wouldn't know that.
Okay.
We are separate entities.
Okay. Now, and then we move to page 63, because the state appeared to be confused. In some cases, it says you offered to NANCO. In some cases, it's saying NANCO offered to you. Let's just deal with the document at page 63 to see who made an offer. Are you at page 63?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you just identify that document? What document is that?
This document is coming from NAMCO.
NAMCO. Addressed to who?
Addressed to myself as a chairperson of ENECO.
Okay. Can you read what it says?
It says ENECO Namibia Pty Limited, Unit 16, City View, Pastia Street, Windhoek West, Namibia. Dear Mr. Peter Alindi. Offer to acquire ENECO Namibia Pty Limited.
Okay, just hang on there. You are a lawyer. What is an offer?
It's a proposal to enter into a transaction.
Okay, what does that mean? Who offered?
Yeah,
is it ENECO or ENACO? ENECO.
NAMCO offered.
Offered
to ENECO.
Okay. And that date was what is the date?
8th of July 2022.
Okay. Now, can you read the next paragraph?
This offer is to acquire the ENECO Namibia Limited bulk storage facility situated at various Ministry of Defense sites for the amount of 53,212,000. NANCO through
212. Can you just read the amount in full?
The amount in full. 53,212,000 Namibia dollars.
Okay.
The NANCO through the acquisition of the ENECO asset to allocate 35 million Namibia dollars to the current ENECO debt, whereby 30 million will be paid to the current transactional account and 5 million to the old debt. This is what was said then.
Okay. And
we surely hope the above offer is acceptable to ENECO Namibia, and we await your official acceptance hereof. Here we attach fine asset evaluation report for commercial installation at Namibia Defense Force by the NANCO engineering team.
Okay, just that, because it's very easy to accuse people of fraud. Now, state is saying you committed fraud against NANCO. The next paragraph is very, very important because it's apparently about the asset representation. Can you read out the last paragraph again?
We surely hope that the above offer is acceptable to ENECO Namibia, and we await your official acceptance hereof.
Yes.
Here with attached fine asset evaluation report for commercial installation at Namibia Defense Force by the NANCO Engineering Department.
Okay, just explain to court, what does this mean when they attach an asset evaluation report by the NAMCO own commercial engineering department. What happened there?
The NAMCO engineering team went to the Enercon built service station, home base service station in the military base, mm-hmm. and did the evaluation and then came up with that report.
Okay, did you hide access to those installations so that they don't know what NAMCO is buying? Is it because there is fraud alleged? So remember now, when this report came to you, it appeared to suggest they had access to the asset they want to buy. Is that correct?
Yes.
And did you cooperate with them?
No. Yes, of course. We facilitated that they go and visit the base.
Of what they want to acquire.
What they want to acquire.
And that is what exactly did they want to acquire?
You see, the Enercon built the home base service station with our own resources.
Okay.
How do you mean home based?
Yeah, it's the fuel station in the military bases. I can name them, Your Worship, just for understanding purpose.
Yes, yes.
The Ministry of Defense and the military bases have got fuel stations in the bases. They have one in Kietmans, one here in Seydorov, one in Hobabis, one in Ruikov. We have some in between, but we built the one in Krootsfontein, Rundu, Oshiveo, and Orun. We did not finalize the one in Katima, for example, and the one in Opu.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we built, what Enercon built with our own resources, and that's why we were given the 15-year contract to recoup the investment, is the tanks and pumps in those service stations.
Okay. Just hang on.
Just slow down. You can proceed.
Yeah, this morning, just before, so that it's clarity, this morning you were laughing actually. You were saying the state is confused between what you just said now and the fuel management system.
Yes.
What did you mean when you say the state appeared to be confused?
The
fuel management. We'll go to the agreement.
Yeah, the fuel management technology was because this whole proposal to defend started the fuel management technology, which is the technology that is installed in the vehicles to control the consumption of fuel. It means you install around the dispenser a chip. And also certain controller at the service station, whereby when a car drives, the passive tag on the, passive chip on the vehicle recognizes the one at the service station. The petrol attendant will be having a passive tag, and then before you dispense, he used that tag to start refueling, and the report will come out that vehicle registration number what, with tank capacity what, refueled how many liters.
Okay, that is...
That is fuel management technology.
Okay.
This one has to do with the construction of the fuel installation themselves. For example, it was because of this technology that we went to all the bases to do an environmental impact assessment and site surveys. And on the basis of that site survey and the environmental impact assessment, we realized that all the service stations were outdated, were non-compliant with the requirements of the Ministry of Mines and Energy, and they needed to be rebuilt. Some of them, things that I shouldn't be saying in the court, for example, the Seydorov, the service station was behind the soldiers' barrack, which posed a risk to them. That's why when you pass there, now the service station is in front. In Oruno, for example, it was behind ammunition depot. So we had now to standardize all these service stations, literally build new one with
ERECON resources, not resources.
Okay, that's where I will start demonstrating how weak the state case there. Just hold on there. Let's then go to the agreement where the...
if I understand you correctly, you are saying those equipment were from Ministry of Defense.
Which one?
The one you built.
No.
The one which were already there. The one you are saying that they were not in compliance with the Ministry of Mines and Energy.
Yeah. Yes. Let me explain, Your Worship. The service station that were non-compliant, yes, we left them there. We built new one apart and left those ones that were non-compliant.
Yes, that is my...
Yeah. Pumps, tanks, canopies, and petrol attendant house, and all the underground connections.
And let me just ask before...
Before, Mr. Ramanjas, yep, you are too fast. Yes.
Okay.
You know, just when I say slow down, slow down.
Okay.
Yes. Now, you build new ones with ENECON resources.
Yes.
Yes. Now, those you built, where did you build them?
In the military base. In the fuel industry, those assets belong to the oil companies. And that's why, for us to recoup the investment we made, the Ministry of Defense gave us a 15-year contract to supply fuel and recoup the investment we made into this fuel station.
Okay. May I proceed, Josh?
You can proceed.
I can also just add one fact why it went to 15 years, because then the dealer margin at that time was 0.56 cents per liter.
Just explain to God what is a dealer margin.
When you have a dealer license, the prices are regulated by state, and the net profit of anyone selling that fuel, like in all the service station, you got a margin. By then, it was only 0.56 cents per liter, and that's why it was extended to the period of 15.
Can you repeat it?
0.56 cents per liter.
Okay, let's then start to demonstrate this confusion and so that the court has the whole picture. Can you go to page 8.3 to start how the relationship with Ministry of Defense up to the relationship with NAMCO? Let's start at page 8.3. Okay, just for identification, if you look from page 83 to page 92, that is a 2012 agreement with the Ministry of Defense. Is that correct?
Yes, I can say yes.
Okay. What is the title of the agreement? Because that is exactly where the state is confused.
The Supply of Fuel Management Technology Agreement.
Okay. Just end there. This Supply of Fuel Management Technology, is it the one that was the right title and interest sold to NAMCO?
No.
This is something different?
This is something completely different.
Okay. So this is not...
Now, what was sold to NAMCO? Just to clarify, you are saying this is not the one that was sold to NAMCO.
Yeah.
What was sold to NAMCO?
NAMCO, it was the right to use the pumps and tanks that belongs to ENECON within the Ministry of Defense facilities.
Yes, I'm actually coming to that aspect, Your Worship. Okay, now, if you go to page 85, that is the first agreement with Ministry of Defense, read the article on duration first.
The duration. This agreement shall commence on 19 September 2012 and continue until completion of the supply of fuel management technology as per the implementation plan to be agreed at a later stage.
Page 85, your worship, Article 2. Page
85. We can proceed.
Yes. Now, then you would see, then it's Article 3. What is it? Just read out the heading.
Article 3, contractual specification.
And then read out 3.1.
DPF shall be required to provide, just for records of the court, any, prior to Enercon becoming Enercon, it was called DPF. So it made a name change.
Okay, so DPF is actually Enercon, but in 2012,
yeah,
it was
DPF.
Okay, go ahead.
DPF shall be required to provide the fuel management technologies more fully set out in Annexure A and Annexure B as approved by the Safety and Security Commission.
Okay. Now, you will then see the technical specifications from paragraph 3.2. You see that?
Yes.
To over the pages to paragraph 3.2.7.
Yes.
Then there is then financial aspects of the fuel management system.
Yes.
Then there is a dispensing of fuel to vehicles and containers.
Yes. That's fuel management technology.
Yeah, exactly. And then part of specification relates to the prevention of fraud on the system, at page 87.
Yes.
And then, if you look at 3.5.5, information required during dispensing, is that, you see that?
Yes.
And then, it goes up to 3.8.2, and yes. Training.
Yes.
And the most important in this, that's when you said this morning there is a confusion. Can you read out that paragraph that is coming, Your Worship, I'm at page 88 at the bottom. Read out the heading.
Ownership of the system.
Okay, just highlight. So this is when you say the system, what is being referred to? Isn't the fuel management technology you refer to at the beginning? Or is that something else?
You mean on three, on ownership of the system?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fuel management technology.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
to say.
It's fuel management
technology. Again, just for clarity, is this 3.9 at the bottom of your ocean? Okay, so again, just for clarity, because of this overarching confusion, this ownership of the system we are talking about, is it what was later sold to NAMCO in 2022?
No.
This is something different.
This is something else different.
Okay. Can you read 3.9?
After the expiry of the tender, the system including the bureau management services will become MOD property.
Okay, and that is the system. Okay, and then it goes on, and that agreement was, if you look at page 92, was signed in September 2012.
Yes, yes.
And at page 93, and then is an extra that set out the system.
Yes, sir.
The fuel management technology you spoke about.
Yes.
And it goes up to page 99. All those annexures relate to specification and parts of the system.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, then the most important document then for background purposes is the one that starts, Your Worship, at page 100. First, identify the document.
Yeah.
What is it? Read it out. What
first addendum, fuel supply, supply of fuel management technology, yes, between Ministry of Defense of the Republic of Namibia, here in after referred to as MOD, and here in represented by Petro Chivute in his capacity as permanent secretary, who warrants to be duly authorized here too.
Okay, no, it's fine, and there. If you look at page 107, that addendum was signed during August 2013.
Page 107. Yes.
Okay. I will just want to deal with few, and if you go to page 101, go back to page 101. Are you there?
Yes.
If you look at the preamble, the second paragraph, it says both parties are in agreement that this first addendum to the main contract signed between the party on the 19th of September 2012 be executed. The 2012 agreement is the first fuel technology management agreement that we are referring to. So this addendum is amending that agreement.
Yes.
Okay? Then if you go at the bottom, Article 1.4, then it set out what is to be deleted and to be amended. Same page, 101.
Mm-hmm.
Article
1.4.
Yeah, it tells you what should be amended on the main agreement.
Yes.
Just hold on.
Yes.
Now, amendment of the main agreement. The main agreement being
the 2012 agreement, Your Worship, that we dealt with earlier, and it's at page.
Okay.
Starts at page 83, Your Worship.
Okay.
From page 83 to page
92.
Yes, and for ease of reference, Your Worship, you can in your note refer to the 2012 Ministry of Defense ENECON agreement. It was then amended by the addendum that we are dealing with, Your Worship, which in 2013, which started page 100. May I then proceed, Your Worship?
Yes, I mean.
So, Mr. Erindi, so we ended at page 101.
Yes.
You would then see that the agreement deals with amendment to Article 1.10 and 1.13 at the bottom. You see that?
Yes.
And over the page, page 102, Your Worship. Then it talks about addition to Article 1.14, again of the 2012 agreement.
Yes.
And then it talks about addition to Article 2B there. You see now, it talks about MOD refueling sites and so forth. You see that?
Yes.
And the most important part that you highlighted to me this morning and that you should then start explaining to court is Clause 6 at the bottom. You see there?
Yes.
Can you read it for court?
Because what page?
Page 102, paragraph 6 at the bottom, right at the bottom, Your Worship. Mm-hmm. Can you read the heading and then?
The Article 6,
yes.
Add new sub-article 3.1 bis, site remediation and civil works.
Yes, site
3.1 bis 1.
Yeah.
By adding the obligation on the part of DPF, which is ENECON, to site remediation shall include all activity related to the removal of old underground fuel tanks, procurement and installation of new composite underground tanks on all sites. This includes installation of suction pumps and automatic tank gauging equipment.
Okay, just explain this.
Just for purpose of understanding.
Yeah.
At this stage, we were contemplating working on the old service station, or old fuel station.
The existing, Ministry of Defense.
Yeah, but we just realized that in the event that there are major environmental contamination, once you open up, you are obliged as an entity to correct those environmental degradation. So we opted now to build, and in coordination with the Minister of Defense, completely new service station. And then this one were to be decommissioned at a later stage.
Just slow down.
Oh, okay.
Just slow down.
So,
just hold on. Just hold it there. You can proceed.
Yeah, you see now, just for clarity, 3.1, it starts saying by adding the obligation. So am I correct to say this provision related to the first agreement being amended under paragraph 3 so that ENEGON is subjected to further obligation than the obligation are stated? Is that correct?
Yes.
And those obligations are then what is stated, including the removal of old underground tanks and etc. as it goes on.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then go back to page 103. And this is critically important to these bogus charges. If you can read out that paragraph.
Is it not 3.1?
Yes.
3.1, this. DPF undertakes to manage and pay for all remediation work, which is cost estimated to be 43 million Namibia.
Okay, just end there. You have already clarified that DPF is ENECON, and it says to manage and pay for all remedial work. The remedial work spoken about, is it what you explained already above under paragraph 3.1 there?
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And for that, you have to pay of around 43 million.
Yes, that was an estimated cost. In fact, our cost went up to 58 million.
So your cost,
yeah,
because of this new obligation, went to 58 million?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then continue with the sentence? After 43 million?
Yeah. And shall include the installation of two 23,000-liter tanks and suction pumps per MOD refueling site, including installation of a fixed line network infrastructure at all home base.
On all home bases. Okay, go on.
DPF will source the required capital to cover the cost of the remediation work and shall recoup its investment through a 15-year fuel supply contract to the Ministry of Defense.
Okay. Just for context, that this agreement appeared to say, this is the remedial work, you remove old pumps and so forth, you get there, you will be out of pocket for more than 43, you said 58 million. At the time when you, ENEGON, entered in the agreement with NAMCOR, how many of the 15 years remained?
9 years were still remaining.
Just okay. A minute.
9 years.
So, so the Ministry of Defense tells you, you do that on your own, raise your capital, you ended up raising 58 million, and you build and say, sort yourself out during the 15 years period to recoup your money.
Yes.
Okay? Now, just for interest's sake, in 2022, when Energon signed the agreement, concluded the agreement with NAMCO, did you do an estimation of what you could have raised as part of recouping your investment in terms of a value? 9 years left.
Yes, we did that. Mm-hmm. And that also formed part of the negotiation of the final amount.
And final amount with
NAMCO.
Okay.
That's why we did not charge NAMCO 58 million. We charged NAMCO 53.
Okay.
Yes.
So are you saying on your estimation, if the agreement, if NAMCO were to purchase your right title and interest in the infrastructure, in the assets that you developed, they would then succeed you? In other words, take your place in terms of what they could recoup in the remaining 9 years?
Yes. They also must have done their study, since they are a bigger oil company, a state-owned, to determine when they would recoup their investment.
But
they must have done their study. That's up to NAMCO.
Okay.
Yes.
But by the way, in terms of, but something will become relevant when I argue at the end of the day, in terms of corporate seniority, Energon is owned by two natural persons, and you have NAMCO on the other side. Which one is the bigger company?
Was involved, yes.
Which one is the bigger
company? Before you proceed,
yes.
So let's put it this way. By the time you sold to NAMCO, how many years have you been in operation?
How many years have you
managed before?
6 years.
6 years.
So now, hence, if you deduct 6 from 15, 9 years.
Yes.
And in those 9, as far as you and the Ministry of Defense is concerned, that's where you ought to have made profit to recoup money you invested in, including 58.
Yes.
So you then, as I understand you, you then entered into an agreement with NAMCO. It actually offered to buy the interest right and so forth in the asset,
yes,
to take your place,
yes,
and benefit from.
Yes. Just to add
before, before you proceed, yes. Now in 6 years, how much did you recoup from the initial 58?
I wouldn't know that by head. I mean.
Because you are saying you did your calculation, and that is why you came to the amount of 53 to NAMCO, that they could recover their investment in 9 years?
No, the calculation, yes. your worship, was in relation to the negotiation process. Any business transaction you enter into negotiation, I would say I put in this amount, and then the other entity say I can offer you this amount.
Yes, but Mr. Namanja, before you come in, yes, but my question is, you operated it for 6 years, right?
Yes.
No.
Yes, sir.
If you are able to calculate that you operated for 6 years, I want to have a figure that in 6 years, how much of your initial 58 million did you recoup?
I would have to consult the accountant, sir.
Yes, but anyway.
Can you just, you are too fast, Mr. Namanja, please. Because I understood you to say that is why we agreed at the amount of 53 million, as if you have worked out what you have recouped from that initial investment.
It's mostly on the issue of we are in tier of the facilities. Because if you operate a facility for some times, there is always certain wear and tear in the facility. That's why you end up reducing the amount.
We can proceed.
Yes, but just to end up from what the court asked you, but is it your business to suggest to the party offering to you whether they want to buy at this amount or that amount?
It's a negotiation process, and if they agree, in business, they agree.
I mean, if they offered 100 million and you are happy, is it your business to say they cannot buy?
No, not at all.
So it's really relevant what they bought. So you said earlier, as far as you can see, between NAMCOR and your company, which one is the big corporate entity? NAMCOR. When I say that in terms of department, legal department, corporate department, engineering department, which one?
NAMCOR. And of course, NAMCOR is a bulk fuel supplier. We were retail.
Retail. But well, anyway, if anybody wants to buy your interest, if you understand interest and title into an asset, and that is an asset when you receive an income and profit, is it a crime?
No.
When somebody offered to you to buy your interest in the EPL, in the right to exploit any resources or any right, is it a crime?
Not at all. Not in the commercial business.
Okay. Okay, then we will come to NAMCOR.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 million weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save and you save. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can.
As I understand, this agreement was in any way subject. If you don't get this 48 or 58 million to put up your infrastructure, then you will never have gotten this further work from the Ministry of Defense.
Yes.
This infrastructure that you were putting up. Yes. It was up to you.
Yes.
And you did obtain funds and construct those infrastructures.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, we now know that there is a difference between those assets and the fuel management system. Let's then go to the agreement with NAMCOR. Before that, may I ask the court to go to page 115? Because in the charge sheet, your worship, the state referred to an agreement signed between Defense and Enercon of 2016. I think it's better to start with that before we move to the NAMCOR agreement.
On the charge sheet?
Yeah, if you check on count 34 that I dealt with, your worship, you would see the state was trying to be innovative so as to lay its hands over my client to prosecute them. You see, it says, your worship, that count 34. It says that you committed fraud because you pretended that you own the assets when those assets were encumbered to the Ministry of Defense due to a 15-year agreement signed on the 15th of September 2016. So in other words, the state misunderstood this completely. They are saying you couldn't sell the title, the right, and interest in the infrastructure because that is, the state has encumbered it. That's what, at the end of the matter, that appears to be the case, will show. I have never seen such a poor case with respect. Let's start at page 115.
115, and it goes up to page 115. Your Worship, I'm just making sure that I identify for court so that we do not make a mistake. Yes, it ends at page 171. You see the agreement signed between ENECON and Ministry of Defense on the 15th of September 2016 from page 115 to 171. You see that, Mr. Erindi?
Yes.
Now, the 142. Oh, sorry. Your 142.
What is 142?
It ends at 142.
Not 171.
No. You see, Mr. Erindi, if you look at that agreement, it says it's a memorandum of agreement. Ministry of Defense is represented by Peter Shivute.
Yes.
And ENECON is represented by?
Myself.
And?
Brigadier General.
Okay. And then, if you go, just go on the, over the page.
Yes.
You would see that in the preamble, it referred to a 15 years exclusive agreement towards the end of the preamble. You see that?
Yes, sir.
And that is a 15 years that you were given to recoup or your money.
Yes, yes, sir.
In the second addendum of 2013, is that correct?
Yes.
Let's just remove one confusion here. But when that agreement says that you have 15 years to recoup, did it suggest that you can only, as far as profit is concerned, you can only raise 58? Or was it up to you to raise as much as you can?
Yeah, as much as one can. And also the fact that the dealer margin keep on is adjusted every second year or sometimes every year.
So
upward. For example, currently the dealer margin I think is standing at $2.60.
Can you just
use your It's around $2.60 or $2.50.
Fine. So that means that in fact you're also taking a risk. Yeah. If the change and fluctuation in the dealer margin was negative, you could as well have raised less than what you put in.
Yes.
If it is favorable, if, then you...
Worship, I have to object. Because at some point, he's testifying. He was to let it come from the witness, because the witness is the one that has to relay the information, because he appears quite to be an expert.
For Mr. Namanje now to be giving answers on behalf of the client, I think it's totally unacceptable. Let him say what he has to say.
Your Worship, I did not, but to avoid the skirmishes, let me ask the question. Yes. Look, was there a specific amount that you were going to raise from the 15 years?
No, sir.
What determined how much you earn?
It was simply based on transaction, as you keep on selling fuel, buying and selling fuel to the Minister of Defense.
Okay. Assuming you got 60 million, is there anything, was there going to be anything wrong?
No, nothing wrong.
Instead of the 58 million that you put in?
There was nothing wrong.
Okay. So, and those are the rights you later sold to NAMCO?
Yes, sir.
So that if there is a risk or a benefit, They are buying the title, the right, and interest in the...
And let me just add more. Until the time that NAMCO offered, when there are fuel installation, the company managing and owning the asset, those fuel installation assets, has also the responsibility to fix the pumps, the tanks, if there is anything that broke down, environmental spillage, or any element at the service station. Since NAMCO was going to take an exclusive right to use those facilities, they were also going to adapt that responsibility on them. So the responsibilities that Enercon had was quite big. We were fixing the pumps whenever it was broken, and any other problem that happened at the service station.
Okay. So now, so that agreement runs up to page 141. 142. You see that? You see that?
Yes, sir. I can see that.
Okay, and maybe just one thing important. If there is a dispute, go to page 139. Clause 19, Article 19, are you there?
Yes, Article 19, yes.
What is it dealing with?
Dispute resolution.
Okay, and if you move to page 140, Article 20, what does it...
arbitration.
So those are the dispute resolution procedures if there was a problem between you and the Ministry of Defense.
Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, has the Ministry of Defense raised any dispute in terms of these clauses in regard to the agreement Enercon has with NAMCO?
Not as far as we know. Not okay. At all. And also, the fact that that period of 2022, there was an escalation in world fuel prices, and the ministry was concerned with that one. And also on our side, we were concerned that prices might go up substantially, and we needed to just make sure that there was guarantee for fuel for the ministry.
Okay. But why are you mentioning that?
I'm mentioning the relevance is that the Ministry of Defense, in fact, was... encouraging us to involve NAMCO to have even a space like for 5 million liters in the national reserve, which is controlled by NAMCO, so that Ministry of Defense doesn't stay without fuel.
Yeah, of course, they are responsible for our security.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. So to answer my question, did they have any objection to the agreement with NAMCO?
Not at all.
Okay. Go to page 51. This is now the commercial agreement turned into...
Maybe before we proceed, it will be opportune time for the court to take a lunch break. We reconvene at 14:00. Yes, the court adjourns until 14:00.
Yeah, court adjourned. Court adjourned. Konakuri. First argument. Kapa bail hearing. Yeah. Kivo pita hango erindi. beneva vizwo ki walipuzo. No caso da pedi ku mifari tava kafera ze caso ba de cavalis ve pedi ma kota mi ke mzeko kapamane mun ki mzeko kalisizwe kono haki mzeko ki kuteleza bakeni sakuli baba takupa kupikira tolongo fundi minaofisa kuri kibela application maskua mi kamso bonala kuri vakazo la pili mi have vakazo la pili luka mifaa pe kuri mkone kuteleza mi kuna sutupi ndombe tuna mlungu senili musiali sinde mtoko pana hape kamso mwana kweswana.
Let's express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My